to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I pulled up to the church, and there was a bus in the parking lot full of people and broke down. And I let them in the building. They all got warm, and we had church. And several of them received Christ that Sunday afternoon. I remember driving back thinking, by the grace of God, I'll never cancel a service. So just so you know that, right? And you people that showed up on Thursday night, not only are you hearty, you were weird. You know, just the fact that you would come. We had a good service. It was good fellowship, and only at Fundamental Baptist Church, I think, would that kind of thing happen. God bless you. It's exciting to serve God. In John in chapter 11, we're going to read about the love of Christ. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, found in that chapter. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning in some detail. And I just want to remind you, I want you to know that Jesus cares about you. If you will surrender to God, we got a brand new year in front of us. We're going to finish this year. We're going to finish it running. I want to finish it in the game. And then we're going to enter into the year 2016. And next Sunday morning is all about vision and all about where God is willing to take us and wants to take us in the coming year and what we've got to do to prepare for that. But this morning, I just want to remind you that God will see you through every battle that you have to face. And there is a God in heaven that loves you. It's exciting to serve God. There's no limit to what God will do. I haven't shared this from the pulpit other than I think maybe Wednesday night. I got an invite to preach in Birmingham, London, England, but the dates don't work out. So I said, maybe next year, and maybe we'll be able to work it. And I thought, man, how in the world did you ever hear and know anything about us up here in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, over there in England, and on the internet, and they listen to the radio broadcasts on the internet. Amazing. Yeah, there's no limit to the scope that God has given to us, the open door that God has given to us to reach this world for Christ. Now, I thought, what should I preach the Sunday after Christmas? A lot of people are lonely this time of year. A lot of suicides take place this time of year. When others are celebrating with family, there are those that seemingly have no one that love them. And they're by themselves. You can be all alone in a crowd. You might be that square peg that doesn't fit in the round hole. And even at your family get-togethers, you're all alone. I want you to know this morning. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves you more than anybody could ever love you here on this earth. Your best friends may forsake you, but Jesus never will. Your brother may forsake you, but Jesus never will. Your mama may forsake you, but Jesus never will. He's the light that does not fade. He's the rock that will not move. He's the truth that will never change. I'm preaching about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the very one whose incarnation we just celebrated last week. He loves you. Oh, if you just get a hold of that this morning. Maybe you didn't get for Christmas what you wanted to get. Maybe you're kind of feeling a little bit down in the dumps. Maybe you didn't get anything. You have Jesus. And He loves you more than man could love. He loves you more than you can love Him in return. What a great God we serve. Our candlelight service on Christmas Eve, all we did was read Scripture and sing songs, and read Scripture and sing songs, but it got a little emotional. It's a wonderful thing to be part of that, where just reading the scripture touches hearts. In John in chapter 11, Lazarus is sick. You're familiar with the story. Jesus, this is just prior to Calvary, and Jesus is ministering like only Jesus can. Verse 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus, Lazarus of Bethany." Bethany was just east of the Mount of Olives, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. "And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." Mary did this after this event in preparation of the body of Christ. I don't know that she knew what she was doing, but in preparation of the body of Christ for his death. Verse 3 says, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him," unto Jesus, "saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." You know, verses 1 through 4, and there's a lot we can say here, and sickness is so much a part of so many people's lives, and we all get sick at one time or another, and some have to go through some illness before they die, and some have a sickness that lasts for years and years and years, and you think nobody understands. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. Jesus has everything under control. He has everything under control. Maybe you're apprehensive about the future, and maybe you have a sickness in your body right now that you're concerned about, and it's out of your control, but it's not out of God's control. And he knows exactly what he's doing. As we read the story of Jesus journeying to Lazarus and where he's sick and where he dies, it's an unusual thing. It's like Jesus takes his time to get there. I want to say something about that when we get to that point. Man without Christ, it's chaos. The world without Christ is utter chaos. It's chaotic. Everything is out of control. But I tell you this morning, Jesus has everything in control. And all will be done for God's glory. That's what Jesus says here in this passage of Scripture. It's important that we realize that there's a lot of things in life I'm not supposed to control. That's living by faith. Whatsoever not of faith is sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If I have to understand everything, where's the faith in that? I don't have to understand everything God does. I'm on a pilgrimage. I just follow him. He's my shepherd. We make such a mess of things. It's good that we have a shepherd. A shepherd that loves his sheep. A shepherd that cares for Lazarus and cares for Mary and cares for Martha and cares for you. Because we're a pitiful people. We got a new puppy at our house. He's white and looks like a polar bear. He's already stolen my heart, and puppies never steal my heart. You know, and he has. And he's the laziest. He's Rupert all over again. I don't know how it happened. His name is Ralph. Very dignified name, Ralphie boy. And he's the only dog I ever saw. You remember Rupert? He never got 4 feet off the ground at one time. Big, fat, chocolate lab. Only his front feet had come up. We got real excited just his front feet come off the ground. Well, here's Ralphie boy. And Ralph lays down when he eats out of his bowl. I have never seen him stand and eat out of his bowl. He lays right down and he eats. It's kind of like Ma and Pa Kettle. I don't know if any of you are fans of Ma and Pa Kettle, where Ma Kettle says to Pa Kettle, says, "Pa, you remind me of the old hound dog." "Well, what dog is that, Ma?" "You know, Pa, the dog that leans against the barn when he barks." You know, and that's Ralphie boy. And Deb's in the room, and I said, "Look at that. It's pitiful. Look at it. He's laying down." And I'm saying this while I'm laying on the couch eating a piece of pizza. We are a pitiful people. We really are. We need the God of heaven. We need the good shepherd. I need the good shepherd that watches over me and he leads me day by day. I remind you of this. God has everything under control. I don't know what you're going to face in the year 2016. I can look back in hindsight of all my life and every event in my life, and God knew what he was doing in every situation. Even if I wasn't sure of it myself, God knew what he was doing. God's got everything under control. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus actually loves you. It's the deepest kind of love. It's the Greek word agape. It's agape love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that is totally giving. It is an unconditional love. Jesus loved, verse 5, Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. I was thinking about this morning when I was praying around the auditorium. And I pray verbally, I pray out loud, and I'm here by myself. And I'm praying, God, fill up this pew with the people that you died for. God, fill up this pew with the people in Chippewa County that you love. And I said it, and sometimes when you pray things, and I heard it, if we could only reach the people in Chippewa County that Jesus loves, you know, we'd reach everybody. Because everybody's important. And he died for everybody. Mary had her shortcomings, and Martha certainly had her shortcomings, and so did Lazarus. But verse 5 boldly proclaims, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6 says, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, talking about Lazarus, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. That's kind of odd. As we read these following verses, understand this. Because he is God, his timing is always perfect. God is never late. And God is never too early. His timing is perfect. Again, I need a shepherd. And he's always there for me. Word comes to Jesus that Lazarus, who he loves, is desperately sick. Does Jesus hurry? He stays there 2 days. Then after that, saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again, area around Jerusalem. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? And if any man walk, that's a Jewish day, and if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. There's always work to do. There's always ministry to accomplish. And we're to work during the day. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. That's a euphemism for death. You see, you think that's what Jesus meant? Yeah, because he's going to tell us that in a minute. But the disciples thought, well, Lazarus is sleeping. That's good. When you're sick, it's good to sleep. Howbeit Jesus, verse 12 says, then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he should do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Death is no problem for God. Death is like a gnat that just kind of, a bug he just kind of shoos away. No problem to God at all. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus made some promises in the previous chapter concerning death, and he also does in this chapter as well, and we may get to that in just a moment. Verse 15 says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. God has a plan. God's timing is always perfect, and God always has a plan. He is the omniscient God of heaven. My life, he has a plan for it. A detailed plan. And if I just be a sheep and follow the shepherd, everything's all right. It's good to have a shepherd. I can't help but think, even while I'm standing here this morning, when I was a little boy. I don't know why this stands out in my mind. It wasn't anything abnormal or anything, but I remember, and I don't remember the event, but I remember it happening, and I remember thinking that. My dad's my hero. When we go places in the car, I'd be sitting in the back seat. That was before the days where everybody had to be buckled in a seat belt. In fact, many a time, many a trip, I laid in the back window, and that was kind of a neat place to take a trip back there and kind of watch everything. But I remember sitting in the back seat and looking up and seeing what, at that time in my life, my dad was a giant of a man. I was a little boy. I look up, and I don't know if you notice it, but my dad's ears stick out a little bit like that. Weathered ears, sunburned ears. And I looked up and look at the back of his neck. And I guess little kids do this. I don't know if they do it now or not, but look at the back of his neck and looked at his ears. And dad's driving. Everything's going to be all right. That's not to infer that if mom is driving, everything isn't going to be all right. But dad is driving, everything is going to be all right. And you know, if God is in control of your life, man, you got nothing to fear. Not even death. It's a bug. He just shoos it away. He's abolished death. Oh, let's read on here. He has a plan. I'm glad for your sakes, verse 15, that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which he's a twin, means twin, which is called Didymus, and that's the Greek form of the same name, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. This guy really has a dark spirit. Let's follow the master. We're all going to die today. Verse 17 says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, or 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Lazarus must have been a well-loved man. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Disappointment, consternation. But don't read that as a lack of faith. Because look at the next verse. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Her faith is real. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Listen to this. In the family of God, nobody dies. You say, wait a minute. What about those people that we buried this last year? They didn't die. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God. Jesus said, in the family of God, nobody dies. It's reunion time. It's maybe poetically crossing the river. But I'm telling you, nobody dies. Your loved one that we buried this last year, and there are several, when he or she closed their eyes here on this earth and exhaled their last breath on this earth, their next breath was celestial air. When they inhaled, they were in the presence of God. See, you believe that? I do believe that, because that's what the Bible says. Jesus, let me read it again. Jesus said, He said, Martha, what you don't understand is standing before you is the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. And I want to tell you this morning, There's a lot of ways, there's so much in this passage. If you are in your valley right now, if you're in some kind of depth of despair, run to God. Run to Jesus. He's the one who loves you. He's the one that cares. And let's read on. Verse 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Humans misread everything and misunderstand all too often. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She collapsed at his feet. He was her only hope. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, might underline that, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Jesus cares. And said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. There it is. Jesus wept. The Son of God cares about you. He say, oh, I'm so insignificant and small, and you know, he doesn't even know my name. If you're saved, he knows the number of hairs on your head. He's the very God. Jesus wept. He wept for Mary. He wept for Martha. He also wept for the Jews that were with her, that cared about Mary and Martha. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Misreading again. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Monday morning quarterbacking. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Corruption has set in. By the way, nothing's too hard for God. Amen. Nothing. Not even death. Amen. Nothing is too hard for God. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, Christ hath abolished death. He's destroyed it. He has obliterated it. The enemy of man, death, has been defeated because of Calvary. Verse 40 says, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that thou wouldst believe, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe, and that thou hast sent me. So Jesus allowed the people to hear him pray. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Had he not called for Lazarus, all of the dead of earth would have come forth. It would have been some kind of general resurrection outside of the prophecy line of God. I mean, but Jesus is very specific. And the all-powerful God says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, we're just reading it on a piece of paper. We're reading it in our Bibles. You need to understand this actually happened. You need to understand that there was a crowd of people there. And Mary was there. And Martha was there. And Jesus was doing something extraordinary. He had them move back the stone. And then he calls for Lazarus, a dead man who's been dead for 4 days. He calls for him. And you know who steps forth out of the mouth of that cave? Lazarus, all wrapped in his burial garments, even his face covered. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Of course, some of the Pharisees did not believe. God has a plan. Christ has conquered our biggest enemy. I'm so thankful. I don't have to fear the grave. I don't have to fear death. Because Jesus said, His words, I am the resurrection. And I am the life. And whosoever believeth on me shall never die. What a great God we serve. He cares about you. So one more thing I want to say this morning. We're going to skip some verses and go to chapter 15. Or, I'm sorry, chapter 12. Chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, 2 miles from Jerusalem, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. I love this. There they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Days before, he was a dead man. Now he's sitting upright and taking nourishment. Death had no effect on him. He's sitting at the table with Jesus. And Mary is so overcome. She looks at her Savior and then looks over at Lazarus, her brother. And he was gone. And there he is, sitting right there at the table. And she looks back at her Savior who raised him from the dead, and she so loves him. And looks back at Lazarus again, and looks back at her Savior again, and she can't help herself. And she takes the best thing she has. Verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This said he, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Another passage, let her alone. She had done what she could. Mary gave back to her Savior the very best she had. God loves you. In the person of Jesus Christ, He died in your behalf. He loves you more than you can love yourself. That's the love of God. That's agape love. If you ever get a hold of that, you'll be just like Mary. And you'll do what you can do. You'll give your very best. I just want that to sink in this morning. It's the end of the year. 2015 is drawing to a close. Are you giving your best to Christ? Are you so in love with Him, like you ought to be, like Mary was, that you can't contain yourself? She wiped His feet with her hair. She so loved the Master.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like a scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.